We commence our Friday evening fellowship meetings. So that is the Young Adults Fellowship meeting, which meets on the second and fourth Fridays of the month, the men's meeting on the first Friday, and the ladies' fellowship on the third Friday of the month. That's my Friday evening off. And then we have a fifth Friday in the month, we have what we call a praise evening, and we tend to spend some time looking at new psalms and hymns, looking at some of the history, some musical hymns as well, and also, of course, a devotional who's gathering around the Word of God as the people of God. But we also have a weekly bulletin that goes out, which for quite a number of months included the psalms or the hymns printed off inside, because we were not using the hymn books. Because of fears of infection by the aerosols, that's now been proven not to be a problem, and so we're back to the hymn books again. So that's a really update of what we're doing. The preaching has gone forth. We know of one man converted over the preaching, and he is a regular visitor. He started visiting in August of 2020 and has been coming ever since. And it's good to see not only of his profession, but to see that confirmed in the sacrificing work of the Spirit in his own life. And that's a great encouragement. Others who have started attending are also become very faithful and are a great encouragement to the congregation and, to be honest, to me also. So do remember us in your prayers. We have a broad age range, but we do have a number of elderly saints who are feeling the effects of age. A number of which are still able to come out, but now we're in the winter months. The weather is less clement, and we do tend to have long winters. This year, the winter starts very late, the end of November. The previous year, it starts in September, and so before any time between then and April, and even then, any other month, there could be snowfall, but normally that would melt very quickly. So your prayers are coveted for the work, for the going forth of the gospel, for the feeding of God's people, and for the opportunities to knock on doors. People are still quite fearful. The various lockdowns that are still threatened or in existence, so people quite fearful. The setup here in North America is very different. It's not really small little centres and easy places to get to people. It's very much a grid system of shopping malls and huge car parks, and it's a very different system. But we do cover the prayers for the work of God here in this congregation, and for myself, the Lord will give the help that I very much need. And so we just pray that the Lord will grant you a blessed and fruitful 2022. And so that's I bid you a fond farewell. We do miss you, we think of you often, but we're unable to come and visit for the time being in the Lord's wise providence. And so we do trust that the Lord will help you all in the coming time. That's the end of this short message that was supposed to be 3 minutes. And there's a wee bit of it. Sorry about that, Mr. Ben. God bless you. Bye.
I would thank Paul for sending that message. And we do welcome everyone along this evening. We're going to get Robert McConnell again, but we get him knocked off this time. We've heard from him before. But we're glad that you're here tonight, and we trust that God will bless us as we gather around his word afresh this evening. Sometime we'll be able to get this technology worked out so that it works seamlessly, but at the minute it doesn't do us any favours at the minute. But we trust that God will have blessed that message to your heart. Now, just to remind you of some announcements for the incoming days, just to say that there is no meeting on Wednesday. The prayer meeting has been transferred to Friday evening. It'll be at 10:30 on Friday. We'll have a time of prayer before the watch night service. So come along and join with us for the time of prayer, please. And then the watch night service at 11 o'clock. And we're still looking for volunteers. I haven't got any this year. We usually have a few by this stage. But if we can get some volunteers to either sing or read some of God's word or bring testimony to God's blessing to you in the days that have gone into eternity, do let us know as soon as you can, please. We need to know tonight, please, if we can. There are envelopes available in the hall and also missionary prayer calendars. Next Lord's Day, 11:30, is our morning service. We'll be doing the motto text for 2022. It also will be communion. There will be the season of the communion after the morning service next Lord's Day, and all who are saved and seeking to walk worthy of their calling in Christ are remember the Lord's death in his own appointed manner. 6:30 is the prayer meeting, and 7 o'clock is our New Year conference, and I will be the speaker at both meetings next Lord's Day. Again, we have no American brethren over that we usually have for our New Year conference. Do remember next Lord's Day too, being the first Lord's Day of the month, is building fund, and there will be that offering for the building fund, and please give as the Lord has prospered. Do remember the COVID restrictions as well, the rules or the laws that are in force, and just be careful over these next incoming days especially. Now we're going to sing a hymn before we come to the Word of God. It's the hymn 76, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. We will stand this time as we sing.
Thank you.
would turn their Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, for our scripture reading. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and beginning our reading at the first verse of the chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and beginning our reading at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Amen. And we know the Lord lad his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's unite again in a word of prayer and seek the help of God. Our Father and our God, we come to thee in our Saviour's name. And we thank thee for the message that was brought there so very long ago of a Saviour, Christ the Lord. We thank thee for that message that echoes down through the corridors of time and is still the message that we need to hear this evening. Bless thy word to our hearts. Shut us in with thee, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. One of the traditions that has become part of this time of the year, Christmas time, is the tradition of the message or the broadcast from the monarch. Now, that started way back in 1932. In 1922, John Reith, the pioneer of the BBC, asked the then king if he would make a broadcast, but he refused. But then they were launching what was to become the World Service, then called the Empire Service, on the radio in 1932. And again, John Reith asked the king, King George V, if he would do a broadcast, and under pressure or with the help of the Queen, Queen Mary, and with the Prime Minister, Ramsay MacDonald, who encouraged him to do the broadcast, that broadcast was made, the first Christmas message broadcast by King George V. And then King George VI continued the tradition, and after her accession in 1952, our present Queen has done these Christmas message broadcasts. The first one was done on the radio from Sandringham in Norfolk from her study, And it has followed the same pattern. It has come up to date now with the TV and so on. But we think of how it is a very personal message. The Queen does not have her advisors or her ministers writing the speech. It is very much a personal one. She did take advice from Prince Philip when he was alive. But this is very much what the Queen has to say. And in the last 20 or so years, it has become more religious in character. In the millennium, she said that that Christ's life was provided a framework for her to lead her life. And since then, there has been this element in there pointing to Christ. In 2016, she said, "Billions of people now follow Christ's teaching and find in him the guiding light of their lives. I am one of them because Christ's example helps me see the value of doing small things with great love, whoever does them and whatever they themselves believe." Now, there's a little element there of whatever they believe in there. And the Queen is the supreme governor of the Church of England, and the Church of England is very liberal and very compromised, and that has worn off on her. But nevertheless, all we can do is hope and pray that when she says that Christ provides the framework of her life, that that indeed is so. But what I want to do tonight is to think about the Christmas messages that we have in the Bible. The world will want to drown out that message tonight. There was a piece done by the pop stars or the pop singer Simon Garfunkel way back in the 1980s. And it was called the 7 o'clock news / Silent Night. And in this piece, they played Silent Night. But as the song went on, the news, the 7 o'clock news, or the 9 o'clock news, became louder and louder. And I don't know what they meant by it, and I don't know whether they commented, but really it told the tale of what is going on in the world today. Because the greatest of all news is being drowned out by the world and by its news. But what we want to do is to get to the greatest of all messages afresh. And we want to consider that message as is revealed to us in the scripture here. Though the story here is 2,000 years old, and it is one that we have heard many times, yet, dear friends, if we have any sense at all, it will come with freshness and with blessing to our hearts. So let's visit Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, and let's hear the message that was delivered to Mary, delivered to the shepherds, and delivered by the angels so very long ago. And the first aspect of the message that we see here is that it is a message of peace. Now look at verses 10 and 11. We read about the angel who comes, and it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." And then if you go down to verse 14, we read how the heavenly host joins the angel, and it says that they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So this is a message of joy, and it's a message of peace. It is a message that comes down and brings peace to men and women. We think here of how there was a shock to the shepherds. We are told that the angel comes and the first words are, "Fear not." And we know that they were trembling here. It says that they were sore afraid. And it's not a bit wonder, because here is the supernatural bursting in upon them. They need to have peace. They need to have their minds and their hearts settled in the midst of all that they see, because it's something that they didn't expect and something that they had never seen before. The supernatural bursts in and brings the message of God, brings the message of salvation. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And what a wonderful thing when the supernatural breaks in to lives and brings God's word to the heart. And oftentimes when that happens, it is something that brings fear. We don't like the supernatural. And maybe we'll not have the supernatural break in the way that the shepherds saw it, in that we'll have an angelic host in the heavens speaking the word to us. But nevertheless, it's no less supernatural when God, through his word, begins to deal with hearts and begins to deal with the souls of men and begins to speak in conscience. And maybe, dear friend, young or old, you have had the Lord begin to speak to you in days gone by. And as God has spoken in your heart, it hasn't been received with joy. It maybe hasn't been received as something that you're welcoming. Maybe it has caused fear in your heart, a little bit of disquiet in your soul as you've heard the message of God. Because the message that we are sinners, the message that we're going down to a lost eternity without him, is not a message that we want to hear, but it's a message that you need to hear. And I want you to see the shock of the shepherds. They needed to hear the message of peace because they were in turmoil. And maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight, and your mind and your heart is in turmoil. And your mind and heart is upside down as you consider the days that have gone into eternity and the days to come. And you don't know whether you're coming or whether you're going. Well, dear friend, what you need to do is heed the message of the angels and go to him. Go to Bethlehem and see the one who is the Savior and the one who is the King. It's a message here. And we see the shock of the shepherds, but also there's salvation to the shepherds. Because as we say, it's a message of salvation. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And the angel here brought these good tidings. Don't we need good news today? In the midst of the horror and the tragedy and the news of all sorts of untoward things in this world, we need to have good news. And this is good news that is broad and encompassing. It is to all people. And my, what a change the message of the gospel has made in this world. What we could hardly conceive of this world if there hadn't been the gospel. If God hadn't reached down into lives and hearts. If hearts hadn't been changed. If communities hadn't been changed. If the social fiber and structure of our nation hadn't been changed by the gospel, what an awful place it would be. And we're heading back to that as people abandon the gospel. There is a breakdown in social structure. You can see it in America. The politicians cannot understand why people are looting and rioting and breaking into shops and all of these things. It's because of the breakdown of the gospel in the society, and that's the fruits and the outworkings of it. The gospel has always brought peace. Peace in a society, peace in a community, but most of all, peace in the heart. But it's not only an all-encompassing message, but it's a particular message. Because while it's unto all people, he said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Dear friend, while it is to all people, and while it has made a difference in society, what difference has it made to you? What difference has it made in your life? The Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. And dear friend, you need that reconciliation. Your sins need to be dealt with. Your iniquity needs to be overcome by the grace and power of God. We are separated by our sins from God, and we need to be brought nigh to him. And you need to come, and I hope that you will come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's broad and all-encompassing. It's also particular and personal. But there's something else about this message. It's powerful and effective. The one who the angel announced
is the mighty Savior. You notice the way that he's called Savior or Deliverer. And that pictures his sacrifice, the Savior of those days, and by the pictures of the Old Testament had to be a sacrifice. And we think of the cross of Calvary when we read about the fact that he's the Savior. But then he's Christ. And that speaks about his kingship, his rulership. It speaks about the one who fulfilled the promises and the prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament. And then he's the Lord. He's the sovereign God. He's the one who's to be served and to be worshipped. You know, if we needed information, God would have sent us an educator. If we needed technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If we needed money, God would have sent us an economist. If we needed entertainment or pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. If we needed deliverance, God would have sent us a soldier. But what did God send us? He sent us a Savior, because our greatest need is redemption and salvation. We see something here of the salvation of the shepherds. But look at also the steering of the shepherds here, because God directed them. Where did he direct them to? To where the Savior was. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." It's always been the desire and the work of God's servants to point men and women to where the Savior is. Where is he? He's in his word. Where is he? He's waiting on those who will come to him. He will receive those who trust in him. He is only a prayer away. As we pray, as we seek his face, as we call upon him, he's there. And you can imagine those shepherds around the campfires there, and they're talking about the sheep, and suddenly the angel breaks in and changes their lives. It's one of those interruptions that we thought about there on Wednesday night. You know, sometimes God needs to interrupt our lives and break in. And I wonder tonight, is God speaking to you? God, Lord would say, "Come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, dear friend, what a wonder. God breaks in. He broke in here in spectacular fashion, but he comes sometimes in the quietness. And he brings peace to those who are in turmoil. There's a message of peace. But then secondly, I want you to see this Christmas message as a message of praise. Because we read about now what the shepherds do. Look at verses 15 and 16 of Luke chapter 2. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heavens, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They heard the word, and now what do? They go. They go. They go at the command, and they go at the invocation of heaven itself. And they go to worship. They go to worship at his feet. Now, the shepherds were social outcasts. They were not able to get to the temple because they were out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were dirty. They were unclean. They were not able to come into the temple. And so, in many ways, they were counted as social outcasts. And yet, to these social outcasts, the first invitation of the gospel, as it were, the first invitation that is given when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, is to these unclean outcasts, men and women who are outside of society, and he comes to them and he says, "Come," and they come. And we read that as they come, they fall down and they worship him. Now, Mary and Joseph are there. It doesn't say that they fall down and worship them, but it says that they fall down and worship him. We worship the Lord our God only. There's nothing of Mariolatry here. There's nothing of worship of anyone else or any creature except we have the Lord of glory worshipped here in this portion of Scripture. But we read how they come and they worship the Lord here. And then it says in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." And praise is always the ultimate response of the coming of the Lord. You cannot just be happy that God has been gracious to you, but you've got to praise Him. You've got to praise Him. And as God's people, we praise Him today for all of His goodness. Tonight, as the shepherds responded in praise and adoration, I hope that our hearts, if you're saved, are responding in that praise and adoration to God as we think about Him. They praised Him in their worship, but they also praised Him in their witness. You'll notice, if you look at verses 16 and 17, it says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." So they didn't keep the news to themselves. They went out and told everybody, and they shared it. And anyone that would listen to them, they wanted to share the message that the Savior had come. And they had seen Him, babe in a manger, but nevertheless, the Savior of the world. And here there is a spontaneous witness. Really, they become, in many ways, the first New Testament evangelists over this. But nevertheless, their hearts respond in worship and in witness. And if we're walking with the Lord, it's the same with us. Our hearts respond in worship and in witness. And then look at verse 18. It says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And my, there is a wonder caused here. And such is their witness that there is a wonder throughout the community as to what they're saying, because they were in earnest. They were telling what they had experienced, and they were able to tell it with all of their hearts. And my, there was praise through their worship and praise through their witness. But then you'll notice that there's praise through their walk. As these men returned to their sheep, there would have been a difference. The sheep and the circumstances and the fields and all of the labor wouldn't have changed, but the men had changed. Their hearts had changed. Their lives had changed and being transformed by the grace of God. And I'm glad tonight that God transforms lives. He puts in a new joy and a new peace and a new desire after the things of God. My, what a change and transformation there is in the hearts of those that meet the Lord's Christ. Have you ever met Him truly? Do you know the praise, the joy that's in your heart as a result of trusting Him? Oh, dear friend, what a wonderful thing it is to get this message here of praise as we think about the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's one more message here that I want you to see, and that is the message of what we're going to call pitilessness. Because we read in verse 7 of the chapter that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I'm thinking about the innkeeper here. The innkeeper is never mentioned, actually, in the gospel record, but there must have been a man who was in charge. There was a man who told them that there was no room for them in the inn, that they were booked up. And we think of this woman, and she's expecting a child. She's about to be delivered. And we think of the callousness of this man who will not give her room there in the inn. I don't think there's evil intent in any way by the innkeeper. He is just overrun. There's everybody who is of the house and lineage of David has come to Bethlehem to be taxed at that time. And there is no room. But you think of the reason that the innkeeper would have had for his pitilessness. And that was the darkness of his understanding. He understood, of course, that this was a lady who was about to give birth. And you would think maybe that something of compassion would have kicked in. The best that he could do was the stable where he put them. But we recognize that he probably didn't know, almost certainly didn't know, that this was the Messiah that was about to be born. He didn't know that this was the Son of God who has come into the world. He didn't know who he was dealing with or what he was dealing with. And you know, we could make that an excuse. You know, maybe you make an excuse. Well, I don't know about theology. I don't know about the Bible. I don't know about these things and never looked into it. And you know, maybe you make the darkness of your understanding an excuse. But you know, at the end of the day, there was no excuse for this man. Because the scriptures, by prophecy, revealed that this was the time when the Savior would be born. We know that it's told in the book of Micah that it would be in Bethlehem that the Messiah would